So today is Veterans Day. Hopefully everybody remembered that, realized that. I see somebody with a jacket on that could have clued us in a little bit. There's a phrase that is often referenced when it comes to veterans. And now that I'm looking at it, I don't know if I've reversed it or if I have it in the right order, but all gave some and some gave all. Is that in the right order? Okay. Some were called into duty. Some chose to enlist. And no matter where they were stationed or whether or not they came home, all of them made huge sacrifices that benefited many, many others. And their sacrifice, in most cases, was not simply for a few days or just a few weeks, but usually a handful of years. In terms of the time sacrifice, there was many other sacrifices along with it. Sometimes they came back home to animosity and ungratefulness and even neglect for their needs from the ones who had benefited most from their sacrifice. So, a huge thank you to all the veterans. And today, we're going to talk about sacrifice. Sacrifice is the giving up of something so that ourselves and or others may benefit in a futuristic way. When we hear the word sacrifice, especially in the religious realm, we tend to quickly go to animal sacrifices, Christ's death, maybe God asking Abraham to sacrifice his son. Those are all part of a bigger picture. But the reality is, all of us make sacrifices daily, even hourly, that do not include an aspect of death. But they do include the aspect of future. What about smoked meat? Barbecue. I'm going to sacrifice a little bit of time so I can really enjoy some additional flavor, right? What about going to work for somebody else? I'm going to sacrifice quite a bit of time. Family time. We'll sacrifice all of that for money, right? Nothing wrong with any of that. What about the simple act of, oops, I just dropped my pen on the floor? I guess I will sacrifice a little bit of energy to pick up my pen so that I'll have something to write with as I need to. We enjoy on a very regular basis choosing somewhat on our own to make a sacrifice. Just like I chose, okay, I think it's worth the time, effort, energy to pick up my pen. Might be for an apprenticeship. We chose, okay, there's what, a couple years, 3 years, sometimes as many as 7, I think, for some apprenticeships. Maybe that 4-year degree. It's not just time, money, right? The expenses of living at school, around school, all so that we can hopefully end up with something that allows us a career. What about bringing another life into the world? Chosen sacrifice there, isn't it? 18 years plus of serving another human being. Sleepless nights, Lots of money, lots of energy, probably some dented vehicles, stained floors, stained walls. Give up the last scoop of ice cream. The other night, I just thought I wouldn't mind a little bit of ice cream. It was gone. It wasn't my wife. Bringing our life into the world, that list could go on, of sacrifice could go on for a long time. But yet, still quite a few of us choose that one, or those sacrifices, right? Sometimes we don't get to choose the sacrifice. Instead, it seems like we were chosen as a sacrifice. I got an air call this week. Lori and I have a place down in Florida that we rent out to snowbirds during the winter season. And I had a really nice couple in last year down there, and kind of expected that they would be back again this year, but real early this year, right about the time they would have been leaving, he said, Aaron, he says, something I need to tell you. I said, what's that? He says, we bought a place down here. I said, oh, the one right next door to yours. No big problem at all. They'll now, instead of being good tenants, they'll be really good neighbors. They quickly told a couple who is their friend, close friends, that, hey, Aaron's place is up for rent for next season. You probably should give him a call. So they did. Bob and Sue quickly signed lease papers for this season. And here, about 3 weeks ago, Sue called me up and just said, they were supposed to be there December 1st. She said, Aaron, could we go down a little bit earlier? Could we get there on November 20th? I said, yep, we can work that out, no problem. So they're excited to get down there because their really close friends are going to be right next door, and they're already down there. But I get a phone call the other day. I think this was Thursday during the day. And it's Sue, and she's crying. Bob had suffered a really major stroke the night before. They won't be going down to Florida. And as we talked, we just talked for, 5-10 minutes. And as we talked, I could hear in her voice the sadness of not just Bob's ordeal, but also the sadness of, we had plans. We had plans to be, we were literally almost packed up, ready to go to Florida and spend, lots of good time, not just in warmth over the winter, but with our good friends next door. Remember Joseph in the Bible? He didn't choose the well or the pit. He didn't choose the slavery. He didn't choose the prison. And none of those things in the moment seemed to be for any of his personal gain, but maybe his demise. Yet he did remember through all of it that God had already showed him through a vision, that at some point in the future, he would rule. Probably didn't understand at all what that really meant, but he just knew God had set something, let him know that you have future. But then these other things come into play. Again, remember that sacrifices have attachment to future. And we're not really told or shown if Joseph all the time kept that in mind, but for whatever reason, whatever his new task was, the next task was, he did it to the best of his ability. Potiphar turned over his entire household to Joseph's care. The prison master used Joseph to help with his daily work, turned over a lot of trust and ability in the prison. And then Pharaoh turned over almost the entire kingdom to him. You know, as human beings, God created us as pretty much the only creatures that know, not only comprehend and value the future, but we entreat the future. When I say entreat, that we invest in our future. Maybe not always in the best ways, but we reason through the fact, if I do this today, I should get that at a much later date. Because of that ability, we can and do choose most of our own sacrifices. But there's something we need to understand. We do not get to choose whether or not there are sacrifices in our life. That is not up to us. Remember the story of Cain and Abel? Cain chose his sacrifice. It was not the sacrifice that God had commanded. Cain somehow realized he didn't have a choice on whether or not there was a sacrifice. God had commanded a sacrifice. So are we choosing and allowing ourselves as sacrifices today, not only for our future benefit, but also for the future benefit of others? In Proverbs 13 and verse 22, Proverbs 13 and verse 22, you kids should really pay attention to this. It says, the good leave an inheritance to their children's children, but the sinner's wealth is laid up for the righteous. So God just said, you're supposed to have an inheritance, kids. But he didn't really say to expect it from your parents, but your grandparents. And we need to put some thought process into that. Because how are we supposed to leave our grandchildren an inheritance? After we're gone, doesn't it still become the our children's right or ability to oversee that inheritance before the grandkids get to it? And what if our kids choose to squander it before the grandchildren get to it? So maybe this verse isn't talking simply about material wealth, physical goods. Maybe it's talking more about legacy. Legacy that can extend way beyond a generation. And we can see that a little bit in Exodus 20. Exodus 20, verse 5, right in the heart of the Ten Commandments, God says, you shall not bow down to them, that means foreign gods or idols, or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the iniquity of parents to the third and fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. So God shows here that we can leave a legacy, good or bad, to our children and our great 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 grandchildren. By choosing what we do today, the sacrifices that we're willing to make today, God promises, if we're making the right sacrifices, God promises to protect, show mercy, love, and provide to all of our future generations. He said to the 1,000th generation. I just said all of our future generations. Because what we choose to sacrifice today is going to have great effect on the outcome of not only our children, but all the generations to come after us. And again, all the generations. Because from Adam and Eve to today, there's been less than 200 generations. He said up to 1,000. God doesn't just throw a promise into the Bible that's real vague and non-specific. No, he's really specific. He said, to 1,000 generations. There will be 1,000th generation. God just said so. Do we read his word that way? Or do we look at it and go, he's probably... No, he's only talking up to this point. Then there will be no more. No, I wouldn't look at it that way. So why did God choose to sacrifice his son? Because there's more generations to come. There were more generations to come. God sacrificed his son so that his original intentions for humans would be restored. And that restoration includes the earth we live on. And from time to time, sadly, us humans choose sin, which has contributed to the demise of humans and to this earth. And there's a cost to restoring this earth and the human condition back to what God's original intention was in Eden. And that cost not only demanded the sacrificial death of our Savior, but also many, many more sacrifices. Not only sacrifices of the past, but also all the sacrifices that are going to be going forward. And God placed the responsibility of sacrifices on what group's shoulders? The priesthood. In 1 Peter, hey Cody, sit down please. In 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And in Revelation 1 and verse 6, it's speaking about Christ, our Savior and our High Priest. Revelation 1 verse 6, and made us to be a kingdom of priests, serving his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We've been called to be a kingdom of priests, which means in order to be a part of Christ's kingdom, we must be priests. There's not a lot of choice here. You can opt in or you can opt out. If we desire to be in the kingdom, we must be priests. We don't get to ask God that he make us a gardener instead. Right? He's already told us what our role is going to be. What is the main characteristic of a priest? They look after the sacrifices. Hebrews 13, verse 15. Through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of lips that confess his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. So our duties, our responsibilities of priests has already begun. Those responsibilities aren't something we do once a week or only at the feast or even once a day. But it said constantly offering a sacrifice of praise to God. That means everything we do, we somehow show appreciation for all that he has done for us and all that he has in store for us. That one seemingly small sacrifice of praise will require many other sacrifices throughout our day. The passage there that we read in Hebrews 13 worded the confession of his name. Do we consider all of our current and future deeds as an expression of who God is and what he is doing for us? Do we acknowledge him in everything that we do? And do we remember that he's in the midst of cleansing, restoring this earth and all of humanity? Shouldn't all of our sacrifices be to that same end? In Romans 12 and verse 1, we read this quite a bit, I'm sure. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. You know, the word transformed is in there, and the word renewing is in there. Those don't simply speak to the past, they don't simply speak to the present, and they don't simply speak to the future. It's all-inclusive. It's ongoing. It's always happening. We should not be the same human beings today that we were 2 years ago. And going forward, 2 years from now, we better be more mature. They said, let our bodies be that living sacrifice. And our bodies include the thought process, our minds. Are we truly turning our future over to God with complete faith and trust? Or do we want to establish our own future? Do we consider at every turn what is God's will and how we can stay connected to his will? I think most of us suspect this, sense this, realize this, that the end is near. I'm not saying tomorrow, this afternoon. But I think many of us would phrase nowadays that I think it could easily be within my lifetime. I'm not saying it's going to be. I'm just saying I think it easily could be. So, have we ever stopped and thought about if that's the case, Christ will be returning within my lifetime. That there's going to be a lot of opportunity for sacrifice in the somewhat near future. And how will we respond to those sacrifices? Because again, there will be sacrifices. What we get to choose is what we sacrifice. And it could be our eternal life that we sacrifice. Bob and Sue had plans to spend the winter in Florida. The other day, God allowed circumstances with Bob's help to prevent that. Do we consider that nothing takes place in all of creation that God didn't either put into motion or at least allow into motion? So God was involved in one way or another with Bob's stroke. You and I have made some plans, or at least have some hopes or expectations of next week, next year, maybe the next 10 years. Are you willing, along with me, to quickly give up all of it for God's plan of restoration? All of it. Not just aspects of it, all of it. Matthew 24 and verse 21. Again, Matthew 24, to me, that should be a memory chapter. You should know what's in there, what's said in there, and have some pretty good insight as to what it means. Matthew 24 and verse 21, "For at that time there will be great suffering, such as not been from the beginning of the world until now, no, and never will be. And if those days had not been cut short, no one would be saved, but for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short." Like it or not, some of our plans are going to get interrupted. We experienced just a tiny little taste of that here a couple years ago, with COVID. There was a lot of plans that had to be forgotten about, changed, altered. But in this passage, Christ tells us that there will be elect living till the end of the age. That's the reason the age has to be cut short, so that they can remain. He also tells us that they are going to be cared for. Go to Revelations 3 and verse 10. "Because you have kept my word of patient endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. I am coming soon. Hold fast to what you have, so that no one may seize your crown." As long as we remain faithful, we will be kept from the specific time of trial. But we're not told how we will be spared from it. But we're given a little bit of insight. Revelations 12 and verse 14. "But the woman was given the two wings of the great eagle, so that she could fly from the serpent into the wilderness to her place, where she would be nourished for a time, times, and half a time." The woman is the body of Christ, the church. The time is 3.5 years. Happens to be the same time period that the tribulation is listed as. Now, you and I can spend all the time you want in speculating about the where and the how. We're just simply said, it will be the wilderness and with the wings of an eagle. What does that mean? Again, nothing wrong in speculating. But the reality is, we do not know. Again, nothing happens in all of creation without God allowing it. Why does he allow it? Sometimes we have to even ask the question, did he allow it to keep us from being at the wrong place at the wrong time? Was it maybe to keep us from being drawn towards the wrong thing? Because he said he won't let us be tempted beyond our ability. Or was it because he wanted something better for you? There's probably more questions along that line, but to touch on those three again, wrong place and wrong time. Some have some pretty elaborate stories, and I think they're truthful, of how they had intentions of being on that flight that went down, but for whatever reason, through some strange circumstances, they didn't end up on that flight. God either put that into motion, or he allowed that to be in motion with great reason. We don't understand it. being drawn to the wrong thing. Sometimes God places things on our plate just simply so that boredom doesn't give Satan a foothold in our lives. We feel like we're a little bit too busy, too much going on. But the reality is, and I'm one of these personalities, if I don't have enough on my plate, I'm probably going to find my way into trouble. Not because I want to, but because I don't have enough on my plate and I need to stay active. And the last one, was it because God wanted something better for you? How many times have you heard someone say, I thought I wanted that, but then it didn't happen. And just a little while after that, God blessed me with something that was even better than what I thought I wanted. I've heard quite a few people talk about jobs. I lost my job suddenly, without warning. No radar at all that this was coming. And I thought it was an okay job. I didn't mind the people. I didn't mind the work. The pay was okay. And all of a sudden, I'm at a job I absolutely love. The pay is better. There's a couple people that are believers at my job now. I've shared with you, excuse me, that God, from time to time, not just with me, shows us by placing some things in our lives that he has intentions for my future. He'll show you that he has intentions for your future. And when I first started working for my boss, now it's been going on 32 years, I think, I rejected him at first. He wanted to hire me full-time right away. I was working for myself. He was just one of my clients, in a sense. And he was quickly becoming my largest client, which means he was demanding all my time anyhow. But I told him outright, I said, you know, I've had a couple of other employers in the somewhat recent past that did not look out for me, and I've got a new young family, and I'm not going to put myself in that position again. I don't want to be with another employer that's not going to look out for me and my family. So I choose to work for myself now. And my boss just says, okay, I understand. And over the next, I worked for him for almost 3 years before I became an employee. Literally within a couple of months, I realized, this guy is not like all the others, or many of the others. He cares. And so finally one day, again, almost 3 years later, I went up to him and I just said, and he had been, it literally got to the point where he was my only client now, because I couldn't do the work of any others because he kept me so busy. So I said, I think it would make sense for me now to become an employee. He says, I was afraid you were going to say that. He's kind of laughing, because this is going to cost him more money, you know. He was paying me by the job, now he's going to put me on a salary, but there'd be benefits inside of all that. And he says, but he did say this, he says, but I'm glad that you've made this decision, because you've missed out on 3 years already of retirement savings, because I was going to become the first full-time employee other than him. His dad had hired him as a full-time employee, you know, years before, and then I was going to be next. All the others were part-timers. And the way the law is structured, what you offer to full-timers, you must offer to all full-timers. You can't pick and choose, okay, this full-timer, I choose to give this, and this full-timer, I choose to give only a portion of that, meaning benefits. Now, salary can, that can, you know, pay can be adjusted for whatever their position is. But if you offer health insurance to one full-timer, you must offer it to all the full-timers. And he explained to me, he says, my dad and even me, we just never considered that we might add a full-timer in here that was not family at some point in time. He says, so you get this huge benefit that pretty much no one else does. He said, I set aside an additional 25% over your gross towards your retirement. For every dollar I make, I get another 25 cents above that goes into my retirement. That was huge. That is huge. And he says, but you're young. He says, if you stay with us for a while, like we're hoping, you'll come on ahead. And at that time, I was like, okay, that's great, but it's money I don't get to see and I can't use for decades. You know what? You know, it's just on the back shelf in my mind. But as I watched that money grow, I realized God's got something in motion here. He didn't just simply bless me with retirement, us with retirement money. He blessed us with an abundance of retirement money. He has intention there. I don't know what the intention is. It's not for my glory. It's not just for me to go off and have fun at some point in my future. I know that much. But that also told me that He has a future set aside for me on this earth. I have some days left. And I shared here more recently the day I got ordained. Showed me again that God had plans for me in this role for at least a season. That it wasn't going to be for just a day. Because if that was the case, what was the benefit? If I was ordained and the next day got hit by a truck, what was the benefit? My ordination would have been simply for to my glory, right? No, he was saying, Aaron, I placed you in something for a season. I don't know how long the season is. But that alluded to the fact I have future. My days aren't over with yet. God has numbered our hairs on our head. He's also numbered our days. So will we every day sacrifice to the entirety of His will and plan? But then the questions start coming up. What if it's too hard? Seems to be too hard. What if it seems to be too far? What if we have to forsake some other really important plans? Maybe a wedding. I chose in March, if that's God's will, to go to a wedding instead of the guys' retreat. I told you about Bob and Sue, supposed to be in Florida this winter. This weekend, Bob was supposed to walk his stepdaughter down the aisle. It's not happening. What if the cost seems to be too much? I've shared the story about our family going to Kenya for the feast. The very first thing Lori said when I told her, I'm pretty certain God just told us that Kenya and the feast are a combined phrase. She said, we can't afford that. And she was right, we couldn't. But I responded with, if God truly wants us to go to the feast in Kenya, He will provide the ability to do just that. And over the next few months, the prices kept dropping and dropping and dropping. And that day when the prices were down so low that, I mean, they're down way further than even what we could technically afford, and we bought the tickets, and the tickets were confirmed, God had conveyed to us that we were going to the feast in Kenya. Because why did he have to have us purchase the tickets if that wasn't part of his plan? There was no truck, no virus, no mountain in the way of the plane that was going to prevent that. God wants to place the entire body in safety through the tribulation. How he goes about doing that, we're a little bit uncertain of. But that's his will. That's his plan. Will we be like Abram and move not knowing exactly where we will end up? God asks Abram, pick up your family and I want you to start traveling. And Abram said, okay. Will we be willing to accept whatever form of transportation God provides? He had the Israelites walk for 40 years in the wilderness. Will you say, no, I got a knee that gives me issues every now and then. I'm going to stay back. Will we be willing to leave everything behind that is not to go with us? And I mean everything behind that God doesn't intend for us to take with us. Going back to Abraham, God asked him for Isaac. At that point in his life, was Isaac Abraham's everything? He was very wealthy. We have to remember that God's not going to put us through anything that we can't handle. So in that case there,